execute.
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we're chatting about the 2005 film, The Descent. We have been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
My basement.
My little basement. 36 liters.
36
years later.
That's a movie, eh?
36 years later. There. What's the new Danny Boyle movie that's coming out?
32 years after? I don't know, something like that.
32 weeks.
Sorry, keep going.
32 days.
Later.
32 years.
Later.
We're back in the basement.
Russ's basement now.
And on this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget people's names.
And most importantly, have fun.
Oh, yeah.
This is just another review podcast.
Sure is.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
We're recording on Canada's British Columbians Victoria Day, which is a statutory holiday. So it is a Monday. We're off work. And tonight is Game 7.
Game 7.
Edmonton Oilers versus Vancouver Canucks.
That's right. That's right. All comes down to this. Do or die.
Do or die. And if the Canucks win this, are they going all the way? Is that a good omen for you that they're going all the way?
Not quite all the way yet. They're in the third round. They make it to the Western Conference
final. I realize there's more, but do you feel like it's a good omen, the fact that if they can beat the Oilers, they can beat the potential? Because everyone else has been
They would have to play Dallas Stars next. And
do you think they could beat Dallas Stars?
Sure. They can beat the Edmonton Oilers. They could beat anybody.
That's what I want to hear.
That's what you want to hear. That's what I want to hear.
You're a true...
So
oh my gosh.
I am.
I'm so excited.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm very scared, too.
Unfortunately, the Canucks don't have a great reputation, or I guess Vancouver doesn't have a great reputation dealing with loss.
Well, let's just say the last time we played in a Game 7, it didn't go over so well.
That was for the Stanley Cup.
That's right.
Final series.
Yeah.
So hopefully, the Vancouver Police Department and
No shenanigans. Let's win respectfully and lose respectfully.
Not that I think true Canucks fans were really part of that. Happened that ill-fated day, it was more probably anarchists.
Bunch of yahoos that started it all.
Bunch of young yahoos, whippersnappers. I appreciate your love for the Canucks, and maybe I'll even wear my signed Hughes jersey for the game tonight, so it doesn't continue to collect dust in my closet.
Was the last time you wore it, was that Nashville game?
Was it with you, yeah.
And we won, and so we won. I think you should put it on for good luck. Could you do that?
Yeah,
I could do that for us?
For the city of Vancouver.
Nice, thanks.
But you know what I'm more excited about?
I know what you're more excited
this
about.
This Friday...
No. Is it this Friday?
Yeah.
I can't go.
Dude, I bought
you tickets. I'm kidding.
That's hilarious. We are going to Furiosa. We are all going to Furiosa.
Jonathan can have my ticket.
No, Jonathan can't come. He's dancing.
Oh.
Jonathan is an adults dance competition. We could call him and see what it's all about. Do you have his number? We should call him. We should ask him what it's all about.
Can you tell me what it's all about?
I can, because I'll be watching Furiosa, and he'll be performing his dance competition.
Does he dance with, like, his wife or something?
No, it's like hip-hop? His daughter belongs to...
Does he do, like, the robot?
His daughter belongs to a dance company called Peggy Pete, and I guess parents of the children in this dance company are able to form their own performance, and they have, so they've been practicing this performance for the last... You know, I don't know. I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about, but I don't. I just know.
Well, you know more than me.
He can't go to Furiosa because he's performing his dance.
He's dancing. Gonna get a foot loose. I don't have a soundbite for dancing.
But you could sing it.
I just did.
So you and I are
my way or the highway.
I do have a Patrick Swayze bite.
You and I are going to Furiosa. Not only that, but friend of the pod, Jason, is coming with us. Past guests. Michaela and her husband Graham is coming with us. We're gonna have it's gonna be a star-studded gala. We're gonna be walking the red carpet.
Every time I've seen something or about to hear something, I turn away.
Good. So
I've only seen that one first trailer. Gentlemen, start your engines.
Right.
So I've been purposely looking away.
Sean's been avoiding all trailers,
imagery,
media attention.
Trailers.
I have been tapping it to my veins. Every time I see something, I watch it 10 times. I'm super stoked.
I saw something about the lines of the limited lines of dialogue in the movie, whatever. Yeah. I mean, well, it's Mad Max. It's car races, and
we saw Fury Road. We get it.
Yeah,
and it,
it's all visuals.
And
right?
We can't compare it to Fury Road because it is it's a little bit of a different take, a little bit of a different approach to this film. So just to get you, you know, it's gonna be fun. But you can't go like,
it better it be. You put like, enough pressure on this movie.
It wasn't like Fury Road. Yeah, everybody. So I want everybody listening. No.
I think I've watched more Mad Max than you, and I like them all, so it's all good.
I tried to watch Mad Max 1, and I couldn't do it. But you told me to watch number 2.
Right? Mad Max 1's great. It's like, there's like...
It's really slow. It's
But there's like...
I couldn't get... Maybe I was tired or something.
It starts slow. I'll give you that, but it... ends with a bang.
Okay, well, I will
and I found it very
you know what doesn't end with a bit what starts slow? Fury Road starts with a freaking
boom off the bang,
foot to the pedal.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's Friday night, right? Car. Late Friday night.
We're going 7 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock
Friday night.
All right.
Okay,
you're picking me up.
I'm picking you up. If you want to pick up, we're going to 4:30. We're going to go to the Barley Merchant first.
I don't know how you can drink before a movie and then not get all tired while you watch it.
I'm not going to drink IPAs like California Matt. I'm going to drink some light lagers.
Even any beer would just one or two and I'd be like I'm watching the movie. I have to stay active if I'm drinking
a beer. If you want to come with me, we're going to the...
I think I'll get Jason to
local
pick me
references. Hopefully you live in the Lower Mainland of Vancouver.
Nobody cares right now. Us just making those plans. Got some good feedback.
Okay, from
Melanie, a listener to the podcast, my cousin. I met up with her last weekend.
This is the same cousin that likes my deep voice.
She likes the ass rammer voice. And she's enjoying the podcast. She had some nice feedback. She enjoys it. She really liked when we had Michaela on. So Michaela wants you back.
Dude,
she wants you back.
She wants you back. Ooh, baby.
Is it that Michaela doesn't want to come back?
I think there's a little bit of Michaela doesn't want to come back.
Why?
I think she
felt like she was imposing on us.
I don't know. Like, I feel
what did
like
you do to her?
Michaela is very like, you know, if you say like what walk from A to B, she'll like kind of go, okay, she'll look at B for a second and she'll make a little plan and then she'll walk over to maybe A.10 and then maybe kind of like then kind of assess it out and she'll like test the temperature. And
so you're saying just sitting down for an hour doesn't suit her?
No, what, I like, just want to like, you? I think she just like, I just want, like, we just need someone who's going to jump into it. Like, hey, you want to come? No pressure. No, like, okay. she'll want to do good. Like, she cares. Like, we need someone who doesn't give a crap.
Just to come in and wing it.
And just come in and wing it. But that's part of also Michaela's, you know, she's awesome at what she does.
Yeah.
But she's not willing to just jump into it us.
Oh, right.
She's class.
She doesn't jump into the deep caves without a care in the world,
descent.
Right?
Why can't she descend with us?
I don't know.
I would love to have Michaela back. Michaela, you've heard the feedback's in.
Yeah, people liked you.
We need a third chair and someone with a little bit of different perspective than just two old white men.
The community has spoken.
The community has spoken. Sean's cousin has spoken. And I believe everything Sean's cousin says.
Everything.
We're talking about the 2005 movie, The Descent.
And we're going to talk about whether it's descent or not.
Oh, you instead of like ascended over time.
Oh, wait, that's not the right. I want the dad joke button.
Does it descend the viewer perception on a rewatch? Is that what you mean, kind of thing? Like, does it descend over time, the quality of the film?
No, I meant like, is it decent?
Oh,
get it?
I get it now.
Is the movie decent or not?
No, I thought you meant like, okay, anyways.
Oh, come on. Well, it was a dad joke. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty bad. Dad's in a basement.
Boom, boom.
A match in the
gas tank.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Directed by Neil Marshall. Kind of a television director, done a lot of one episodes here and there for shows like Game of Thrones and Westworld.
Okay.
He did direct Hellboy 2019.
Oh, okay.
And Dog Soldier.
Oh, Hellboy 2019. Yeah. I think that was the redo with Buddy Buddy, not the original one with Buddy Buddy.
I can't.
And Dog Soldier. Yeah, I saw that he did this. His original movie was Dog Soldiers.
So you watched it?
I went and watched it. Yeah, watched
tell
it.
Tell us about that.
Not good. Maybe I should save it for after. No, it wasn't very good. It's about this military training exercise turns into them running away from werewolves. It's sort of a one night kind of survival movie, but it's pretty.
You don't recommend it.
Nah, I think you could skip Dog Soldiers for now.
All right, we'll stick with maybe Hellboy, Descent, and the episode.
And we'll let you know about the Descent.
Descent, yeah. Also written by Neil Marshall.
Okay,
that's okay.
He did. He edited this too. I believe.
Oh, probably.
Oh no, he edited Dog Soldiers. That's where I saw that. Oh, maybe. Maybe he edited this too because it was poorly.
I would like edited. To point out what this movie.
I thought so.
I would like to point out that the cave designs was done by Simon Bowles.
Who's Simon Bowles?
Well, he did the cave designs of the Descent.
Good job, Simon.
And built by Rod Bass.
Okay.
21 different cave sets in this movie.
Oh, okay.
I think
I was wondering whether they used a real cave or not, no, or what.
It was all sets. It was filmed at all the exterior was filmed at Astridge Park in Hertfordshire in Scotland.
Okay.
I'm not saying in Scotland, but and Scotland. So I don't know where Hertfordshire it is.
Okay.
Where's Hertfordshire?
Boop 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 boop. I don't know.
And the interior cave stuff was filmed at Pinewood Studios near London.
Okay.
So all built in studio. And hey, why not?
Why not?
If you can have a good cave designer and cave creator like you.
Hey, they fooled me, man.
Fool you twice.
This fooled movie me three times.
Stars Shauna McDonald as Sarah.
Mm,
Shauna was in Descent Part 2.
Oh, great.
And she seems to be a steadily, like most of the performers in this film, they've been steady actors ever since, but nothing that you would necessarily know them for.
Right. They're kind of background people.
Yes.
I think, kidding. I don't know what they are.
Well, I think the only one, like Myanna Burring, who plays Sam, who's from Sweden. Sam in real life is from Sweden.
Okay.
She was had many episodes of The Witcher on Netflix. Did you watch?
No, I didn't watch The Witcher. No.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't watch all of it, but I enjoyed it.
Okay.
So not only is Sean in this movie, but Natalie Mendoza is in there. She
great.
Plays Juno. Also in Descent Part 2. I did a little deep diving of the Descent Part 2. I didn't watch it.
Did she play a flashback? Because I swear everybody except Sarah dies in the... Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, spoiler! Spoiler!
Fucking movie!
Spoiler! If you haven't watched the movie Descent, what are you listening to this for?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sean just ruined the entire movie.
Everyone dies in the
Everyone dies except Sarah, but apparently not if one of the others.
Well, you know who you never see actually die?
The girl she smashes Juno. In the leg.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Natalie
Mendoza.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who plays Juno?
So maybe she turns into one of them. Cave dwellers. She right? doesn't.
So this is what happens in Descent Part 2.
Okay,
I tell you. So let's
wait. If you're thinking of watching Descent Part 2,
right? It doesn't have good reviews, so I don't know. Okay. At the end of Descent Part 1, which we're talking about today, everyone dies except Shauna, but we don't see Juno die, so we just assume she dies.
Okay.
So Shauna escapes from the cave in the beginning of Descent Part 2. That's important to. Differentiate. And then she's picked up by the police and she's taken to the hospital and they realize that she's got different people's blood on her. So they're like, oh, you've got blood on her that actually matches your friend Juno's. And so the cops think that she's killed them. Oh. She's like, no. And she's got amnesia now. So she's like, I don't remember. We went into this cave. I don't know what happened. So they take all these professionals, cops and cave explorers, take her to try to retrace the footsteps. And of course, they get lost
in the caves.
And they find Juno still alive.
Oh.
And then, again, everyone dies except...
Juno.
No, I think Juno dies. Sarah dies. And except for like a new character.
Oh. And for that will be in Descent Part 3.
No, she dies too. Actually,
everybody dies.
Yeah,
everybody dies.
Everybody dies. It's a fun read. You should read the Wikipedia plot.
Okay.
Of Descent Part 2.
I'll just go ahead and watch it.
Or go ahead and watch it.
We'll see.
Everyone dies.
I'll let you know.
And also in this film is Alex Reed, who plays Beth. She's kind of like the third main friend.
She's like the third wheel.
Third wheel.
Third wheel. Beth.
I'm a big friend. Big fan.
Big fan of Beth. Third wheel. Beth.
I like Alex Reed. Saskia Mulder plays Rebecca. She's the one who's not an actor anymore. She's now a talent agent.
Great.
So she's working behind the scenes. Myanna Burring, like I said, is in Witcher. She plays Sam in this film. And Nora Jane Noon, she's from Ireland. She plays Holly. And she's also a reoccurring film and TV actor for many things. Actually, a lot of them you kind of recognize. You're like, I don't know where this person is from, but I recognize her.
Right.
Her. The film cost $3.5 million to make. It made $57 million worldwide. Oh. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, I guess they liked it a lot.
And so they made a second one. And Neil Marshall obviously didn't direct it. Not obviously. He didn't direct it. He probably executive produced. And it was directed by John Harris.
John Harris.
Who's a pretty famous editor who does a lot of movies for like Danny Boyle and stuff.
Mm. Interesting.
Interesting. Okay. Do you want me to do my improvised synopsis?
Let's do it. Tell everybody what this movie's about.
Who's there? Did you see that?
Where are we going?
I saw Sarah's husband and her kid die with rebar.
Ow. Daddy.
And Juno is Sarah's best friend, but she's also having an affair with Sarah's husband. Well, prior to him dying.
I like Sarah his inspirational quotes.
But Beth suspects it. 1 year after their death, Sarah, Juno, and Beth go caving with friends. Rebecca, Sam, and Holly. It's six friends in a cave.
Ooh, sexy.
Sarah is still grieving, and Juno attempts to redeem herself by manipulating their journey to uncharted caving.
What's wrong with the girl that's crying?
Are you so sad? Little does she know that hidden deep within the cave system are creepy crawlers. Or bad people. Or zompires.
Zombies.
That's my scenario. And everyone dies.
Zombie people that only hear things will hear you and kill you.
You
one by one, the girls fall to their fates, to the zombie people, only for Sarah to be left behind, running for her life, running for her life. Run, Sarah!
We had to fill it up.
That was good.
Yeah.
It was really good. We should just do that now. We'll just like all start and you end it.
All right.
Happy endings.
Happy Endings is a place Russ goes to Friday afternoons.
To end my day.
Takes off early from work. Grabs his insurance information and goes down to Happy Endings.
I'm not paying for it. Work better pay for this.
I'm sorry, but your insurance has expired, Mr.
Oh, okay, I'll pay for it this time. Happy.
Thank you, Mr. You're our best customer. I love you.
Jeez.
I love you. I love Fridays.
Don't look us in the
eye. Oh, Fridays.
Don't look us in the eye, Mr. Head down.
You can close your eyes now.
Yep. Oh, Fridays.
Michaela, quick, save us.
So relaxing. I've never been happier.
Oh, Mr. You're too nice.
It's...
I don't care.
Pay me. Well, where are we?
Let's talk about this film.
Yeah. Love triangle.
Between the
ex-husband. Love triangle. Like, the guy's not even really hiding it. I mean, I think even as the audience, you could tell he's taken off the Beth's helmet and
right,
staring into her eyes, well, and then he needs
to get that across right away.
Right, it builds for sure. But
we need to understand that.
But yeah, he's got his inspirational quote. What is like love rules, life rules, and he gets
except
it
when you die,
gets it engraved and gives it to his mistress, right, who just happens to be your best friend's wife's best friend. Like, didn't he think, oh, he might see her keychain one of these days, and it's
what's well, it's around quota. Her. It's around her neck, and probably buried underneath all her clothes,
under her guilt,
under her guilt, close to her heart,
right?
And maybe she didn't wear it that much, but then after he died, and they kind of went off on their own little way, maybe she carried around it a lot more,
right? And that's why she was wearing it. It was her memento too
for Paul.
She's not the only one that lost something in the crash.
I lost my best friend.
I lost my lover.
I lost my special man friend. Because Juno makes a couple of pretty dumb decisions here. All six of these women go cave exploring. Juno is kind of like the one who's supposed to, I've been here before, I know what I'm doing.
Right, she's, she's the guide,
coming across as the person who should be taking care of everyone's safety. But she does, she makes some decisions that are not smart.
What's the worst decision she made?
First, she doesn't bring the map.
No map.
She doesn't bring the map. She doesn't tell anybody what she's planning. Why doesn't she bring a map?
Because it's uncharted, right?
She wants to challenge each other. I don't know. I feel like maybe there's like an idea of like she's trying to redeem herself with Sarah, and she's trying to give her an experience of a lifetime to kind of like get her out of the grief hump that she's in, maybe. And so there is obviously a...
Well, she gave her that, didn't she?
The grief hump?
Yeah.
My lady humps?
Yeah.
So she's made a call here, but maybe it's not just complete stupidity. Maybe, you know, all good intentions,
right.
You know, kind of thing. But
very stupid.
Very stupid. And then, so she doesn't bring the map. She doesn't tell anybody what she's trying to do. She immediately kind of chooses the route that...
based on wind...
Right.
The lighter, like whichever one has a draft in it.
That tells you that there's like an exit point.
Right, because the air is flowing from one end through to the other, right? Yeah. Makes sense.
Doesn't the Lord of the Rings do that too?
Sure. It seems like
when they're under
the all the technology they have, that's what she's reliant on is a Zippo lighter to lead the way, right?
Yeah.
You'd think maybe they've come up with some sort of piece of technology by now that would... read the airflow.
Maybe.
So. You don't need a lighter.
This film needed a good cave troll.
Cave troll?
Yeah, well, from Lord of the Rings.
There's more cave trolls, right?
There are. Maybe these are what these things are. They're cave trolls.
Cave trolls.
So they, you know, kind of get lost and they see these creatures. I think it's, I still got scared watching this film.
Like, right.
There's some jump scares, obviously the initial impaling the rebar.
Yeah. There's lots of couple whammies. Right.
And at one point they're at the cabin, you know, the night before and she's looking out the window or something like that. And then something like starts. I kind of jumped out of my seat for that.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's some really good directing, I think. Maybe he's not a great editor, but the directing of them in the cave system, like, I think is pretty creepy. And like just the way they're playing with light and focus and like the background and the foreground, I think that's really cool.
I just thought some of the action scenes were a little messy
at the end.
Just throughout. Yeah.
Like, yeah, you couldn't follow it.
Yeah, it just was just messy. Mm.
I guess we'll get to that.
So. Have you ever spelunked before?
No, I've been in a cave, but I could probably always see the exit.
Right. Yeah, never something like this before.
And I don't think I would want it.
No, it seems very claustrophobic. It seems. Especially when the one girl gets stuck. I'm just like, no.
They had to go down and then underwater and then back. That just seems like.
No. Like the minute I would get my body pinched in there, I would like have a panic attack and be like, no, I'm fucking done.
If you didn't know what you were doing, like if someone could draw me a picture and show me the map system, like a system on the map and say, this is what we're going to do, I could probably get my head wrapped around it.
Yeah. And then just say, no.
No, I would like if I clearly like walked through it and if I mavericked it, you know, I spent the first like 45 minutes of the movie just talking about the same
training, same process.
Okay. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I would probably do it. But if I had no idea where I was going, I couldn't. That's my fear would take over.
Yeah, and kind of advanced stuff for this Juno girl to be bringing some newcomers down.
Yeah, so
But I think they're all kind of adventure girls anyways, right?
Like, Yeah. Holly is kind of like
her. Why'd you look at me like that?
Adventure girls.
Women? Adventure women?
Adventure time.
What should I say?
Holly is kind of like the recruit.
He's ignoring me.
Holly is the recruit. So yeah, she's bringing like an inexperienced adventurer who does make some rash decisions once they get lost in the cave system that leads to her death. Even before they meet the crawlers, Holly makes them like thinks she sees light and she falls down a cave and breaks her leg. And then obviously,
yeah, she's like all, I'm going to go in front of everybody. I'm like, bam, like, man, that's what you get for being all hyper and crazy and foolish. And
well, now you're the weak one, right? So
when
the crawlers come, they're going to go for
the broken leg lady. Yeah.
Broken prey.
Why they decided to set this in the USA when everybody else had a European accent, except the one girl. They could have just said that they went climbing in Scotland and the one girl was American who was over there. You know what I mean?
I wonder if they chose an American location to...
For American audiences?
American audiences to make it more like, it's not just a British horror film.
Maybe.
But they also, I think this was a learning experience from his previous film, which maybe is Dog Soldiers that you saw,
yeah.
Is that he had women performers, but they all kind of talked and looked the same. So it was hard to tell them apart. That's kind of some.
There's only one woman in Dog Soldiers.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of Doomsday, another one maybe. That he might have done.
Well, was after this
so one.
So he didn't learn anything.
Okay. So he specifically made the descent with people who talked differently, who
looked I see, because in the unique. Dark, you yeah. need to know.
Yeah, so there was right. some thought behind it, okay. But it is interesting that
I
it's
guess
like,
that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. You know.
What's the test? You call it the Bechdel test?
The Bechdel test?
This would pass
this it. Would no? pass the Bechdel test.
Pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
You with have flying to have, colors?
Yeah, for flying colors. Yeah. You have to have female performers with character names.
Got it. Got
talking
it.
Talking to each other.
Got it.
About not about men.
Got it.
Yeah. So are crawlers men or are they just unisex?
No, but I was trying to think, you know, did they have any other discussions other than talking about Paul yes, and course. Stuff like that? But of yes, course. They did.
Yeah, they talk about stuff. They did. And there's two sisters. Yeah, there's a good rapport between all of them. It's even just like the different relationships and how they connect with each other, I think, is pretty. Three-dimensional, which right. is good. Despite it being written and directed by...
A man!
A man!
No one's been down to this cave before. We're the first person to explore it. So how the fuck did she know where it was?
Right. Did she hear
about... the chicken or the egg, right?
Right. Did she hear about maybe from another climber that they said, well, you know, there is some other tunnels out there that no one's ever gone down. So she heard it from somebody and that's why she made the decision. Like,
maybe. I'm gonna bring and then when they were down there, they saw that other...
There had been people
had
down
been
there.
People down there. So,
so
words out that this cave exists, at least or in the anybody, climbing cave spelunking community.
Sure. But anybody who had potentially been down there before in that specific cave system... It's probably dead.
Right.
But no they one made it out alive.
Found out about the cave somehow to go there in the first place.
I think they just knew that the.
I'm just walking with my cave gear.
I think they just knew that there was more cave systems that had not been explored.
I see.
So they didn't know anyone who had been in there. They just knew that there had been like little holes that people had never gone down.
Oh,
like,
I
never
so
gone,
maybe the,
I never gone
maybe
down
the
that hole.
Entrance had been explored, but that particular system
right.
had. Oh,
right.
the, well then.
But.
You're making sense.
You go down that hole.
Yeah.
You want to put your fingers down there.
Okay, now explain this to me too. These creatures, they're blind and they rely on sound, but they're pretty good at navigating the whole cave.
Right.
And fighting.
Right. Well, they have to, they're carnivores. So they somehow get to the top and bring down animals.
Right.
So they have to be, and they don't have tools. So they have to. Anyways, they're.
You know, they have some sight. They
No, they're blind.
Yeah,
they all.
Yeah.
It's just all on hearing.
Smells.
Oh, it might be smells.
Maybe smellies.
It does that. Smelling wouldn't make sense because they get really close.
Yeah, they like climbed over the girl.
They would like, smell. They would smell them. So I think it's all. It's like you know, Jurassic Park.
Mm.
You ever seen Jurassic Park?
No.
Dude, you gotta watch Jurassic World. I recommend starting with the first one.
Okay.
And then stopping. Not watching anymore.
Don't watch anymore.
Just watch the first Jurassic Park and retire.
The creatures were done well, I thought. The design of them.
Yeah, I thought. Like yeah, I think the creature's done really well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it holds up. Like 2005, what we're almost 20 years later, and the movie still is scary and it still works. It did not descend into irrelevancy for me. Which I thought was your earlier joke. I'm going to text our caller just to let him know we're 5 minutes away.
What?
You talk more. Ad lib.
Oh, well, that girl really was quite the backstabber, wasn't she? She not only backstabbed Sarah and stole her husband, but she backstabbed Beth too, and stabbed her in the back of the throat.
I think
that was pretty harsh.
I think accidents happen.
Whoa, did you hear that?
Oh my God.
That's the special drink that you just got.
John
Blue moved, Monkey.
John moved the bottom of his chair and it just rubbed weird.
Blue Monkey's the... just blasting out my ass right now. Oh
my God.
Blue Monkey.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm sorry you've now stopped the
Thanks,
podcast.
Everybody.
I like this and you like.
Yeah, you know
like
what?
Blue Monkey.
I think when you see action. When I see action battles, there should be more accidents. You know, you, if, especially if you're dealing with people who don't deal with weapons a lot.
Like a missed punch and a guy hits the wall and breaks his hand.
Exactly. Like, you would think in even in like a real life battle, like with trained soldiers, I'm sure there's a lot of people that get hurt by crazy random happenstance. And so I think that's fun. I think that should happen more. I think that would be the reality, especially people who are not trained fighters. They're going to be hurting themselves or they're going to be hurting the people they're fighting alongside.
Like, but that doesn't make for a good move.
You know, but I think it does. Mm. Like that whole, like when she's like, she thinks someone's behind her and she goes and she, you know, backstabs her friend, like your point. That makes a good movie. Accidents. But you're happen. Right. It's not like a clear, like dualistic, like bad guy, good guy. That's the bad guy. That's the good guy. It's very clear. That's that guy's Hitler. He created World War II. So it's really clear that Hitler's the bad guy. And there's no question to the fact that Hitler's the bad guy. So it's really easy to have protagonists against Hitler because no one's going to argue the fact that Hitler isn't a bad guy. But, you know, it can be more nuanced than that. Like right. Maybe, you know, like Civil War.
Hmm. Don't spoil it. Because I didn't go like, with
who's
you,
bad,
remember?
Who's good? Maybe we're all a little bad. We're all a little apocalypse now. All right, you ready to call our friend?
Is your friend ready?
Yeah, I texted our friend and I said, it's time.
All right, well, I'll get him on the horn while you explain this.
All right, we're revamping and we're making our new segment, California Matt. We're calling California Matt. It's time for Hollywood North, which is us, to call Hollywood Los Angeles. We're going to call our Los Angeles correspondent, California Matt, to give us all the hot gossip in Hollywood. Does he know what we're going to ask him? No.
Does he know anything?
Does he have any qualifications to be our correspondent in California? No.
No.
But is he game? Yes. Will it make good podcasting? Probably not.
I think we should just hang up on him if he doesn't answer.
Will your cousin ask for him back?
I don't know.
She'll probably just ask for Michaela again.
Probably.
She Hello? Seems to come in prepared.
Hello?
Hi.
Whoa.
That didn't.
Try that again. That didn't sound so good.
Hey.
Nope. Can you enunciate?
Hello.
There we go. Bad. That's better.
You slow it down even more.
No.
I think we should hang up on.
Can't do a little talk. Introduce yourself. See if this is going to work.
Matt from Hollywood, let us know.
It's cutting out a little bit.
What's the weather like in down in California today?
Well, right now it's not bad. Okay. Little tiny bit of cloudy. Actually, a pinch of rain this morning.
Wow.
But it's been nice.
Nice.
A little Vancouver weather.
You're a Vancouver Canucks fan. Are you excited for the game tonight? We talked briefly about that on the podcast.
I'm never excited for these games. I hate them. I just wait for the losing. I never feel like they win and I get excited. I just get mad when they lose. I don't even know why I watch this game.
So Matt's really enjoying the playoffs, sounds like it.
Okay, Matt, I think it's working. Yeah. So Matt, we're just going to ask you a series of questions related to California Hollywood. And we're just getting your take as you live in Los Angeles. And you're our closest thing to Hollywood. We want to get your take on different
your hot quick take on it.
Different topics. Are you ready?
Ready?
Okay, but just to be clear. No, just to be clear. It's Hollywood, California, not California Hollywood.
Thank you for your
I don't live in LA. I live in Orange County.
Thank you for your clarifications. Those were not questions that I asked for. Matt, this weekend, George Miller's Furiosa is opening up. What's the vibe down there? Everyone pretty excited?
No.
Okay, Matt, a couple weekends ago, Netflix is a joke. Big comedy festival happening in Los Angeles. John Mulaney's show on Netflix. He was broadcasting live every night. Lots of comedians down there, lots of performances. What was the vibe down there?
Sounds fun.
How many comedy shows did you check?
Like in my life?
Matt, the new movie, The Apprentice, it's about the rise of Donald Trump. Just got an 8-minute standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival. What's Hollywood saying about the fact that...
about the fact that we're going to have a new Sebastian Stan playing Donald Trump movie. Especially coming up to the election this fall.
Oh, well, this is perfect. I'm sure they're very excited about that in Los Angeles.
Right.
And I'm sure they're very excited about that for a different reason in Orange County.
Orange County, famously more of a Republican voting group.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of potentially Republican, I'm making an assumption here. Kevin Costner's new film's Horizon is coming out. What's Hollywood saying about that? Kevin Costner's new movies. Do you got what's your take on Kevin Costner? Matt, did you ever see?
Great.
Yeah, Matt, did you ever see the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix? It's kind of like a
Siri.
No,
like a guy talking to his phone.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a little bit in the future. He's got like a relationship with his AI, and it's voiced by Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
Well, guess what? OpenAI ChatGPT just had a voice that they had to take off the shelf named Sky, who sounded particularly just like Scarlett Johansson.
Oh.
What's Hollywood saying? What's that mess? You're just repeating the same answer?
Wait, he's got more. All right. Buzzer beater, Matt.
Matt, hey. Today is Victoria Day up here in British Columbia. Down there, next Monday is Memorial Day, last Monday of May. Have a great Memorial Day. We wish you all the best.
Thanks, and now you're repeating what I told you in a text. Dude, so there you go. What?
It's called Behind the Curtain, all right? It's called it. It's
Well, I'm glad I really helped you with getting behind the scene on this one.
All right. See you, Matt.
Thanks for your help, Matt.
Good thing. Go Canucks.
You hung up on us. That's hilarious. Go Canucks, go.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
I gave this, because this is the time where we rate.
Rating it.
Rate that movie that we just watched. And we can give it 0 to 5 jarps. I give it 3.5.
Oh.
I really like this movie. I like that I came back to it. I like that I came back to it, just me. And I thought it was good. It was good, scary. It's a good amount of scary for me. I thought it's simplistic. Like, it gets right to the point. It's no dilly-dallying with more than it needs to be. And I think it works kind of on a meta level too, with the whole grief and loss and just kind of like trying to come out of that. And wrestling with yourself and fighting with others. So I think that's cool. Yeah, it's still scary. I really like the production creature design. I think it holds up. 3.5.
I didn't realize you'd seen this movie before.
Oh, yeah, no.
I thought this was your first time watching it.
No. I own it. I own this movie.
Oh, you own it? I'm surprised.
Yeah. I know that occasionally I will watch a horror movie.
Nice.
And this is one of them.
Nice. I've seen this movie a few times, and I remembered it being a little bit better, and I was kind of pretty excited that you picked this and all that. But for some reason, this time it fell flat for me. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe because I've seen it a bunch of times. So all the jump scares and stuff weren't really scary anymore. And
so when would you have seen it before this? Like
I think I went and saw it when it first came out, to be honest with you.
No, but like when would you have seen it recently that you actually remember all the jump scares? Like, I didn't remember when the jump scares were coming in.
I'm not sure. I think I might have watched this a couple years ago. Okay. Again. Right. Not too sure.
You went back to it.
I did.
You liked it.
2.75. Yeah, 2.75.
That's better than...
I gave it points for creature design. Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit better than Great Outdoors.
Well, your rating for Great Outdoors, wasn't it? Did we both give it 2.5?
I think I gave it last.
You gave it 2.5.
Sure.
I gave it points for creature design, and like you said, I like the story arc of the main character, Sarah, in this. It's good. Yeah, her sort of becoming stronger and dealing with her grief and, yeah, overcoming obstacles. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you good?
What are you watching?
That was a sound effect farting.
Yeah, it was like, not the blue monkey.
As I'm dying here. No. What are you What are we stargazing? What are we interested in outside of The Descent?
Well, I saw The Dog Soldiers. Told you about that. Yeah, not so good. Did. A werewolf, military werewolf movie.
We talked about hockey. We talked about Furiosa. Hockey.
Yeah, I finally watched The Banshees of
Inisherin.
Inisherin, yeah.
On the Disney Plus?
On the Disney Plus.
Did you like it?
I did. I really liked it.
It's really good, isn't it?
Talk about the ending?
Sure, I don't. Spoilers for Banshees of Inisherin. Go, like, what are you doing? If you haven't watched this movie yet, turn off this podcast and go watch. Let me see.
I'm going to talk about the very end.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell and the weird-eyed guy from Harry Potter and Barry Corrigan. Anyways.
Like Brandon Gleeson, these two
Irish guys that live on this sort of self-contained island. And they were friends, and all of a sudden one day the one guy decides that he doesn't want to be friends with his friend anymore because he finds him annoying.
Right.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's the story of Colin Farrell not being able to accept this, basically, and the other guy just self-mutilating himself along the way to kind of get his point across. He told him he'd cut off a finger if he didn't, every time he wouldn't leave him alone, and keeps cutting off fingers, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and it gets to the end. And so the village idiot is found dead in the lake, right? Do you think what is that all about? Is that Barry Coogan?
I honestly don't remember the ending.
Okay, so then you can't even talk to me about
it. Well, keep talking. It'll come back.
Okay, well, I'm just
maybe come back.
He was just found dead in the lake, and I'm wondering, was that just? They say, he must have slipped in, but it was after
dad did it. Like his dad killed.
No, because his dad was looking for him, and his dad was genuinely remorseful. Yeah. Like, I wonder if he committed suicide because he had that chat with Colin Farrell's sister about loving me or whatever like that. She's like, oh no, sorry. And he's like, well, what about in the future? She's like, oh no, sorry.
She's like, I'm saving myself for Russ.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was just kind of odd that they killed him off. And then what, at the end, they just decide that they're going to feud for the rest of their lives sort of thing? Or Colin Farrell's just not gonna let it go kind of thing? He just kind of accepts that, oh, you didn't die in the fire, so it's clearly not over, is it? And then
yeah, it's just gonna repeat itself. He was tired of the of their habits. Brendan Gleeson was tired of their habit, like they're just consistently just being together talking simple, so he wanted to mix it up, but now they just created a new habit that they're just going to constantly repeat. It's just conflict. I don't know.
Maybe. It makes it more interesting.
So or like that's just like life. It just like finds its way to just be repetitive.
Right. And no matter, even though that it's a new way that
you get in these cycles of just like.
Yeah, it's still going to rinse, recycle, repeat anyways.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Groundhog Day.
Yeah. It was different. I liked it.
I really liked it.
I guess I was looking for more of a ending. Oh. Maybe more of a Disney ending,
like a very clear, this is the
maybe
the
something a little bit more dies. Happier, yeah, or that he did burn his friend down in the house, you know what I mean? Right. It's just like, oh, it's over now, okay.
I like movies that don't end clear.
I know.
I like a good movie that you're like,
and I don't mind that either.
Think about this.
I just felt, I guess I felt that this movie was going in that direction where maybe it would give me a resolution.
Right, but then it's like art, you just can make your own
resolution. Yeah.
Like real
art. Sometimes I'm not interested in art.
I know you
sometimes like, I just want a blue monkey.
Help me out, blue monkey.
Help me out, blue monkey.
So a couple things here, Sean. Shogun is renewed for two more seasons.
Two more, so it'll be two and three.
Yeah.
It was really popular.
You haven't watched
it? I haven't started it yet. Nope, okay.
Filmed in British Columbia, so I assume they're coming back. So coming back to Hollywood North. Also, have you seen the new Wicked trailer?
No, but I've seen a still for it. It's a take on The Wizard of Oz?
Well, Wicked is an actual book, which is an actual Broadway musical, which is now going to be a film. Two films, actually.
They're
going to break up
shit.
A story in two films. But if you watch the trailer, I think it pretty much reveals the whole plot of the first movie.
Okay.
So I don't know. So if you're avoiding trailers, maybe that's the one.
No, I'll watch the trailer because I probably won't watch the movie.
Well, you might want to take your girls to the movies.
Well, yeah, but I don't need... I won't ruin it for them.
Okay. Ready to play some random movie trivia game. This is where we have trivia questions we've never seen before. We've got a whole stack of unseen cards.
Ever.
I review.
Ever, never, ever never seen
Sean
this.
Can choose any card.
I can choose random. Anyone, but he's like, here, don't take this one.
On Go each away. Card, there are four questions we've never seen. We Man. Take turns asking those questions to each
I
other.
I just look at the answers and I was like, this is
the easy. One who gets the most right wins. Sean, you've been winning them all recently.
Yeah, so yeah.
Maybe turn that frown upside down.
I will.
Do you want me to ask you first?
Sure. Let's do it. Hit me. Oh.
In A Fish Called Wanda, what do the double-crossing thieves steal? I did it almost like a little bit of steal. Like I was Michael Palin. In A Fish Called Wanda, what do the double-crossing thieves steal? Don't
a goldfish?
Stutter has nothing to do with it. I think there is a thing about a fish because yeah. you swallow the fish.
Yeah.
No, it's diamonds.
Oh.
Can't
tell you the last time I've seen A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm off to a great start.
Yeah. Here we go. My turn.
What film stars Jack Nicholson okay. as Melvin Udall, okay. an obsessive compulsive aging writer? Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
An obsessive compulsive aging writer. I need the title of the movie.
Because I was like, aging. Aging is throwing me off. So this,
an obsessive compulsive aging
writer. Yeah, I would writer. Say it's the Stanley Kubrick's movie, The Shining.
Oh. As good as it gets.
Isn't he a writer in The Shining, too?
He is, yeah.
Like, doesn't he go out
Yeah, to but the... that's not his name, Melvin Udall in The Shining.
Right, sure, okay. So he's also a writer in As Good As It Gets. Is that stars Helen Hunt, As Good As It Gets?
I think so.
Okay. Jeez Louise.
Your guess is as good as it gets as mine.
The aging thing was throwing me off. I should have maybe thought a little bit more creatively, but I thought it was simple.
That's okay.
Simple minds. I wanted to say about Schmidt because he's really aging in that one, but I didn't.
Listen, the tense music is going.
Okay. What is the subtitle for the sequel to Top Gun? What is the subtitle for the sequel to Top Gun? I think we've already said it in this podcast today.
Top Gun Maverick.
So the subtitle is
Maverick.
There you go. Congratulations. You got 1 point for Sean.
Woo, yeah.
If you're playing at home, I hope you've done a
Maybe
lot better
you
than
got
us.
2 points. You've got
3 points.
What? That's impossible.
They can get my points and your points.
Oh, that's right. It is possible. What natural disaster film was the second highest grossing movie of 1996? Natural disaster film. Yeah, 19.
Is it the Jake Gyllenhaal
96.
One? What is that Jake Gyllenhaal movie? I actually was on the TV when I was at the London Drugs the other day. It's when the floods come. Damn it. I can't even. What's it called?
Twister.
Oh, the Twister.
Oh, the twists.
Speaking of technology that doesn't change, they still use those little balls. And they put the balls in the way of the tornado, and they float up because you know why we know that because this
it was
summer,
in Twister 1,
and it's going to happen in Twisters,
Twizzlers,
and with Glenn Powell's Twizzlers.
Twizzlers.
All right, what? You ready?
Cherry or black?
Cherry.
Always go with black.
What does? All right, I was going to say all right. Will Wheaton, Wesley Snipes. Now. What does Tom Hanks call his volleyball in Castaway?
Wilson.
Doesn't call him late for dinner.
Doesn't call him at all after he floats away.
Oh yeah, that's too bad. Dr. Spaulding.
Who directed Raging Bull?
Martin Scorsese.
Nice. One for the kipper.
Yeah, boy. All right. So you've got two. I've got... You need to get this one wrong. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Ready.
What 80s thriller starred Michael Douglas, Glenn Close, and Ann Archer?
Would that be Fatal Attraction?
So I lose? Is this what you're saying to me? Okay, what's my last
Let's just do it for fun. See don't, if I can... don't turn that frown, no, no. frown upside down.
Dang, turn that frown upside down.
Who stars as Carrie in the 1976 movie
Carrie?
Of the same name?
Of course.
Who plays Carrie in
no,
Carrie?
I know, of you course. Do know. Yeah, I know her name. She is
in Hot Rod.
She's in Hot Rod.
Yeah. She's in Hot Rod.
I'm sure she is.
She's the mom in Hot Rod.
Of course. Yeah, no, she's.
She's the mom in Hot Rod. No,
it's not coming to me. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. I don't know why I do a movie podcast if I can't remember people's names. Give me the first letter. Letter. Not Susan Sarandon.
Nope.
Sissy Spacek.
There you go.
Random movie trivia game.
Well, that was fantastic.
Fucking Jesus.
Whoa, Jesus has nothing to do with it.
Yes. He's jinxing me. He hates me.
That's because you're blasphemous.
All right, buddy. Well, you now have to go back to that and edit out my last name.
Where?
In the whole, when you were impersonating an Asian masseuse, and you kept on saying, Mr.
Oh, no. All right, I got to go do an edit. That's fine.
I mean, it was pretty funny.
Were laughing.
I was laughing. I appreciate the joke. That's why.
But now I have to go back and find out where that was. That's okay.
That's okay.
But give me a little bit of work to do.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Go Canucks, go.
Go Canucks, go. Yeah, good luck tonight.
Thanks, California, Matt.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Talk to you later.
We'll,
Can I, like, screw that up anymore?
We'll do our recap of Furiosa.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Now.
I tried to watch Baby Reindeer. It wasn't very good.
Mm.